100-word stories. Where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? That's the last of the Baileys. I gotta go pick up more. Oh, hey, it's Lawrence Simon here over at 100 Word Stories. Would you like a weekly challenge? How about weekly challenge number 373 on the subject of drink? Y'all got your adult beverages out there, your colortinis, your simultinis, whatever you're gonna drink while you settle back as the stories fly through the air. I'm ready. Ooh, robot says it's 7 hours. Getting a good start. Even got the laundry started here. So let's get going here. Tinny, you ready? She did. Oh, wait, ear goes back. She's listening. All right. So I post up a topic. You come up with the stories. When the week's over, we get rolling. Can't you feel yourself rolling? All right. Here is, let's start off with Thomas from up there, thereabouts, up in Squimbabwe. When's the Lavender Festival again? Here he is.
He was sober, but his behavior had not changed. He was dirty and sober, to coin the phrase. Dave continued to cheat widows out of their savings and take advantage of women with low self-esteem. He would pretend to listen to them when they answered his questions. What do you do? What do you think of so-and-so? He'd look into their eyes, touch their wrist lightly, and lean forward to sip his drink. He had mastered the skills of being a cad and a Lothario. Dave was shot through the groin by a scorned woman of especially low self-esteem. The drink was new, developed by a bright young chemist at PepsiCo. Progen-Gen combined several herbs and generous portion of caffeine. The herbs, indigenous to Brazilian jungles, were used to enhance brain function. They were also close in chemical composition to free testosterone. Those that drank the new cola were less sleepy and more aggressive. Gangs of Progen-Gen drinkers found themselves clustering together at concerts, bars, and soccer games. They would arrive early, leave late, and would be responsible for riots, fistfights, and setting fires to cars in the parking lot. The FDA eventually pulled the drink from the market. It was a three-dog night, so cold, in fact, that Jennifer slept with four dogs that night. She allowed herself a couple of shots of brandy before wrapping herself in her wool blankets and pulling the dogs in close to keep her warm. Of course, Mr. B, the oldest dog, snored, and this kept her awake for an hour before she drifted off. Jennifer could not move during the night. Enclosed in the bundle of wool and dog flesh, she was immobilized. The heat generated by a couple of 100 pounds of dog was more than necessary. Lenore was an odd duck. When she had company over for a fine dinner and drinks, she would exhibit a skeleton on a shelf in the middle of the dining room. The purpose of the skeleton was to remind her guest of the brevity of human life as she offered the first toast. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Every one of her dinner guests was subject to the display, but the food was good and the food and drink were plentiful. Her guests adopted Lenore's decor. More than half of the dinner parties in Brentwood featured skeletons. She was a tall drink of water. Samantha is blonde, slender, blue-eyed, and young. Her makeup is done in such a way that her eyes are emphasized, but the makeup is so soft and subtle, it is not detectable by everyone. When I talked to her, her father was always nearby. He is a friend and dreads the day Samantha starts dating. He fears what he might do if anyone causes harm to his firstborn. He is a big man, works in construction, loads trucks, and capable of removing a teenage boy's head without the use of hand tools.
Thank you, Thomas. That merits a sip of coffee. We ran out of milk, so I put in the rest of the Baileys to smooth it out. Gina went to the store last night. It's like, do you need anything? It's like, well, an ice cream cone would be nice. I should have kept the ice cream cone because you can put ice cream in coffee, you know, instead of milk. But I should have said, oh, yeah, do we have any milk? Derp. You know, got enough bread for toast. You know, all these times I go to Central Market or wherever, or HEB, and I pick up all the stuff that I never eat and ends up rotting. But when it comes to stuff like, say, breakfast things, although I do remember the yogurt, I remember to put it in my bag, remember to take it to work. Then around 10, 10:30, it's like, oh, wait, yogurt? One thing I do remember, Chris the Nuclear Kid. Last week he sent in a story, didn't send the text of it or the sound. And I was like, okay. He remembered all that this week. So here he is, Chris the Nuclear Kid. Take it away.
Daily life of an assassin. I have a different on and off job. I have time to drink all sorts of whiskey, ale, beer, and cider. Or that's how it used to be. I was sitting at the bar, checking out the fine ladies, when a man sat down next to me. "You're a wanted man," he said simply, "and I'm here to hire you." "What's the pay, and who do you want dead?" I asked. He looked up, putting on a fake smile, gave me a hug, whispering in my ear, got up, and walked away. Well, I'd better get going. I grabbed my gear and left.
Thank you, Chris. I think you captured the essence of assassin right there. So if you're thinking, if you know, when you're checking out all those colleges and all that going on your college tour, or trying to think of what do I want to do with my life, I think you definitely need to consider assassin. And those of us who are in our 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, looking for a second career. You know, tired of the 9-to-5 assassin. I hear it's got good benefits. Very good benefits. Although probably in your contract somewhere it's like, no killing random people. Oh, come on, it's practice. You know, got to keep my skills up. Oh, right. Jeff Hema. He's back. Yay! it's the coffee talking. You see, the caffeine and the Baileys fight it out to see who wins. Nobody wins.
Hello, this is Jeff Hema. Sorry, I don't have a doctor's note. This is my story on the weekly challenge drink. A life of toil. They say school time is the best part of our life. Well, I disagree. Waking up in the mornings was always like pulling teeth for me, especially if I had been burning the midnight oil trying to finish my homework. I remember once I woke up late and had no time for my morning shower, so I drank a big glass of milk in one fell swoop, and it was as cold as the weather outside. In a hurry, I jumped on my bicycle, and within 5 minutes, I felt that my shoulders were peculiarly light. Darn, I forgot it, I howled. Thank you.
You know, I'm going to put up a doctor's note on the site at some point. You can just fill in your name, and all you have to do is send me the copay, and don't file it with your insurance. And that'll be it. You know, I won't charge any additional on top of it. So, thank you, Jeff. Hema. You're just Jeff to me. That's all we need. We're on a first name basis. Another person we're on a first name basis is Jeffrey. Oh, yeah. Let's see what he's got up his sleeves. Although, he's got things up his sleeves in shirts that he's not wearing. All right? That's impressive. Although, you got to take that stuff out before you do the wash. And then when you're ironing, it just... This is why I say don't have anything up your sleeve. Keep it in your pockets.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with my entries for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. And this week's subject word is drink. I'm recording this from beautiful San Antonio, Texas, where I'm spending a few days. And to say it's hot, it's humid, and filled with people. But anyway, on with the stories. My first story is called To Drink the Ocean, and it's inspired by the recent news about Amelia Earhart. The aviatrix crawled toward the meager shade the wrecked plane provided against the midday sun. If only I had some water, she thought, and smiled wryly. Water. She was surrounded by it, but none would slake her thirst. In the 2 weeks since the engine failure and crash landing on the Pacific Atoll, she and her companion had tried to conserve the potable water as long as possible. Now the water was gone, as was he, and the aviatrix no longer believed rescue would come in time. Drink, her body commanded, and in time she could hold out no longer. This story is called Alice in Wonderland. Drink me, read the sign. Alice considered, then obeyed. She shut her eyes as the amber liquid spread through her body. It burned. She saw colors. Oh, what indescribable colors! Swirling, blending together before separating again. She felt as though she was floating in air, weightless. She heard voices, first faintly, and then louder and increasingly strident. Alice opened her eyes. She lay on the floor, her bar stool towering over her. A crowd had gathered, wondering what to do. The bartender peered at Alice, a stern expression on his face. Miss, I think you've had enough.
Oh, good. It's humid, hot, and filled with people, like prison. Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. And I love San Antonio. The Life is Good store there. This mug that I'm drinking out of. The Life is Good mug. Got it in San Antonio. Although I wouldn't say it's very San Antonio-ish. It's a, you know, chain store. But still, it was on the Riverwalk. I've got some actual, you know, San Antonio's crap, as opposed to just general tourist crap that you can get anywhere. Oh, and movies of the ducks in the water. You know what's great? The Riverwalk, December. They light it up all pretty. So when you're really, really freaking drunk and you're on one of those boats, you're like, you lay on your back. If you can, like, buy up 3 or 4 seats on one of those little boat things, just lay on your back looking up. Oh, and just pass it. Oh, it is so sweet. And if you, you know, smoke a little something, that's... Not that I would ever, but, you know, there's plenty in San Antonio. Right. I should just play the next story. Richard. Richard stopped himself at 4 stories. Folks, here's the thing. You don't have to stop yourself. Look at Sing. The dude's racking up 25 parts of this kid with the boar's face. The man is inspired. Amused has grabbed him by the huevos, and she's scrambling his eggs. She's making an omelet. I mean, this kind of thing. If the muse grabs you, oh, let her grab. Or him. I won't judge. It's not for me to judge. Or if the muse is some sort of disembodied beyond energy force that doesn't really grab, but die. That's Star Trek crap. I don't understand. I'll just leave that to the dudes who appear on Nova. Is Nova still around? I don't know, the dude with the gray hair, the Oriental dude with the man, that guy. Wow, he blows your mind with string theory, although I hear he's full of crap. Richard, please.
Good morning. It is I. And I have a confession to make, because I have not saved the world this week. So, sorry, Muncie, but just haven't had the time. Okay, first story this week on the theme of, what was the theme? Oh, drink. Is called Stiff Drink. Once he'd recovered sufficiently from his encounter with the lamppost, George took stock of his surroundings. He was in a typical suburban street and had come to grief outside the doorway of a second-rate bar. Untypically, the door itself was lying in the street and shards of glass littered the pavement from the broken barroom windows. He toyed with the idea of nipping inside. He could have murdered a stiff drink. But common sense prevailed, and painfully he dragged himself to his feet and nervously walked, somewhat more carefully than before, briskly away from the scene of destruction. My second story this week is called Lost. Because of the drink, I lost my home, and along with it, my family, friends, job and everything that I owned. Now it's the drink that keeps me going. My days lurch from pub to bar to off-license, and my nights are spent huddled in cold shop doorways and on park benches. So, in many ways, drink is also my salvation of a kind. Even though I know that it's the drink I have to blame for losing everything. At least that's what I assume. It could well be me that's lost. And my home is somewhere around here. This story is called Alice. Drink me, said the label on the bottle. Alice considered the oddly coloured liquid critically. It had been a very curious day, all these potions and cakes with their intriguing labels. Things just kept getting curiouser and curiouser. Still, that wasn't going to stop her. She grabbed the bottle, removed the stopper, and drank the lot before falling to the ground, clutching her stomach in agony. The bottle's label dropped to the floor, where, as her last breath escaped her body, she read the words on the fluttering card, "Drink me," and, too late, printed on the reverse, "And die." Time for one more. This one is called Going Native. The drink had a peculiar yet not unpleasant taste and a potency of epic proportions. Swirling it around my mouth, savouring the flavour of the thick liquid, I swallowed, gasping from its fiery burn. "It's good," I choked, smiling broadly at the toothless old woman, and held out my bowl for more. "What's it made from?" I asked our guide, who simply nodded towards the woman who was preparing my second draft. To my horror, she hawked up a huge wad of saliva into the concoction and stirred it well before passing me the bowl with a wide, gummy smile. And that's my contribution for this week, so I'll be off to save the world now, or at least give it a go. And I'll speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
It's okay if you don't save the world. Some days, the world saves you. Thank you, Richard. You know, I thought I wasn't going to be in a chipper or peppy mood this morning. It may be the coffee, it may be the Baileys, it may be the Words with Friends games that I'm playing. Although this one person, I don't want to play them anymore. I mean, we trade back who wins and loses, but it just, I know from some of the words, really? Really? Also, there's some sort of leaderboard function. I haven't seen it yet. Is this something that you see on Facebook or you see on the Android, or do you have to reload? I've seen stuff on forums hinting at it. Nobody's posted a screenshot. It's like, okay, I think you're all just bullshitting me and making me self-conscious about all the games that I play. I've got like 12 games going on right now. And if you don't have anything better to do, I'm on there as Is Full of Crap, or if you Facebook friend me, you can play. Although I don't, like, I don't know. I add people, I remove them, I add them, I remove them. I just, never happy. He's a real nowhere man. Someone who isn't a nowhere man or woman or energy force from Star Trek is Serendipity. Serendipity is by chance, force, fortune, the luck of the dice. So if you could have a story written by luck of the dice, this is how they'd roll. See, I still got it.
Why do they make medicine taste so awful? The stuff I've been prescribed is vile. And for all the good it's doing me, I'd be better off with a couple of aspirin. If anything, I feel worse since being on the medication. But it's the taste that makes me feel sick after every dose. I've even tried mixing it with orange juice or honey, but it's still foul. In the end, I went back to see my doctor. I told him I couldn't stomach the stuff anymore. He laughed at me. You're supposed to rub it in, not drink it.
I miss House. Oh, that series was so good, and House was such a bastard. But he was good, therefore he was a bastard. Thank you, Serendipity, for hearkening me back to the thrilling days of Cuddy and 13, and was she 15? I don't remember. 17? If she was 17, man, somebody's going to jail. Oh, Serendipity was a part of this Second Life Chateau Retreat thing that the words Second in Life were in the word packs for Chateau Retreat, this application you can run on your smartphone. And it's like magnetic poetry. You drag words around, and William Shatner reads it out. You have three different emphases of words, like break, break, break. And there are like thousands, 1,020 words or something. And you can use them in different ways. Like red, the color red, is you read, as in you read a book. If you're clever and you have audio editing equipment, you can change a board to board. It's a lot harder to cut a word off cut off later syllables because you're like, but with a board, it sounds pretty natural as board. So that kind of thing is cool. And we assembled up some phrases, and I invited others in Serendipity, and I think Tura was in there. So we got some other people in there. Explorer, Helen, was in there. We got a lot of people sending them in. Bot Girl, too, sent in a really long one, and has been doing little videos of them, of William Shatner, and doing crazy talk kind of things with them, morphing. So it's really fun. And so that exhibit's going to be in the west side of Electrify. It is three blocks south or something, but it's on the west coast of Electrify right by the cornfield. So that's up at SL10B. I may do a permanent installation of it somewhere, and I may, I think I'm going to do a Linden Endowment for the Arts thing. Yeah, I know, I said I'd never do it, but I would do a whole sim. And then there would be an area that's, half of it would be ruins, And then the other half would be like green fields and everything wonderful and flying cars and all that and everything good. So all the sad and depressing ones would be on one half of the sim, while all the positive and happy ones on the other. And then the crazy ones would be in your head. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. That's my vision. Nothing ever happens the way it should. So where was I? Oh, yeah, Muncie. I needed to spin a little bit because Muncie needed some time to save the world. Have you saved the world, Muncie?
Greetings, justice friends. Muncie here, having stabbed himself in the heart with a needle full of adrenaline Nicolas Cage style, and then cleaning out the bees from his apartment over the course of 7 days. Why did I think unleashing angry bees in my own apartment while recording a story was a good idea? I seriously have to rethink how I go about making decisions at some point. But that's not important right now. Right now, I have a story to tell. A story about drinking. Sunday Pub by Christopher Monroe. If you want a pleasant atmosphere in which to enjoy a drink or two, or 11, you could do worse than a pub on a Sunday. It's industry night, you see, and as such it's pretty much all waiters and bartenders celebrating the end of their weekend of work. A relaxed, understanding atmosphere in which to enjoy your evening. The people working, I'm told, make incredible money themselves. Which makes sense, I suppose. Nobody tips like other waiters. Still, I could never work the industry night shift, however good the money might be. I gotta get my own drink on. Broken escalator still available. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Now get out there, justice friends, because our nemesis, the injustice enemies, led by the anti-monster and Lizzie Badcoff, are attacking City Hall! Justice friends, away!
Really? I thought it was led by Norm Sherman. Ooh, he gets my blood boiling. What is the boiling point of blood, anyway? No, don't look at me to volunteer. Thank you, Muncie. That mirror shards. Hey, I was the original one a day until the day I die. Don't start with me. Les Nessman will crush you all. Right, thank you, Muncie. Not that you would ever have divided loyalties. No, you multiply loyalties. And then possibly exponential. Or are there integrals of loyalties? Maybe Isaac Newton should have thought of that. You know that Isaac Newton, if without IT, Isaac Newton would have discovered gravy? Think of that. Which, I mean, we'd all be floating around, but floating around with gravy, which might get kind of messy. And apples and gravy. Oh, that's just... I don't know. Well, then again, if it wasn't necessarily a sausage gravy, but a kind of a sweet gravy. Let me think about that. I'll think about that while you listen to Lizzie. She's got some stories for you. A lot of them. Up there at the IRES. She'll tell you about it.
"What's this?" asked the stranger from an obscure planet. "A tap. It gives water, see?" replied the innkeeper. "Or something else when we're lucky," added a customer. "Something else? Like what?" "When democracy was abolished, a group of subversives hacked the water system and added a powder that shuts down the brain temporarily. They still do it today." "That's terrible." "It depends, with work days that are 18 hours long, being knocked out for a day or two means rest time." "We have robots to do our work," said the stranger, appalled. "We did too. Oddly enough, they became the subversives." This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcoff.blogspot.com. And also check out what's going on at ires.me. This is June Avatar Blogger Month. Over 30 bloggers are taking part in this challenge. It's really interesting, so you should drop by. Okay? Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Ah, those subversive robots. Wait, that's me. Oh, dear. I'm going to go talk to the Subversive Robot Council. Really. 1100111210110. You see, that's a robot joke. While you're trying to reboot yourselves from laughing so hard, perhaps you can enjoy the second half of... Is it The Boy with the Boar's Face? Hold on, let me look this up. The Boy with the Wild Boar's Face, Part 2. Is there a Part 3? I don't know. You'll have to listen to this, and then he'll say, like, to be concluded. Or he'll say, thank you, and then take a bow. Although you can't see him take a bow. This man, he will find a way to convey through audio taking a bow. That's how good he is. Everyone should aspire to him. I aspire to him, and I'm the one that, you know, got him to, well, this dude's like a triple, quadruple, PH something super writer, and he's with us here. I mean, avail yourself to his knowledge. Ask him in the comments, you know, how did you do that? Do you have early edits of this, and show us your technique? Wouldn't that be neat? You know, have an episode where we put out your first ideas, you know, your drafts, and then your final piece. Or if you just dash them off like me, pull them out of your ass. I mean, that's why I'm taking a break on Sunday. But it'd be kind of cool. People post up their drafts in the comments after I posted up the final works. And just like, this is how I started, and then I changed to this, and and show the evolution, you know? We want to see the coelacanth of your dreams before it becomes, well, the coelacanth. I hear they taste awful. Sang his stories.
The collection theft turned out to be the saving grace of the Museum Trust. With the insurance money, they were able to renovate and modernize. Media attention aroused public sympathy, and new audiences and patrons flocked to the well-funded productions, which gained generous newspaper review space because a stream of celebrity actors could be employed here between their film shoots. Thus, the Museum Theatre regained its prestige as a premier leader of the arts in the city. Ketut was happy. He helped out with the front of house before each show, swept up afterwards, glad Tuan's life work would continue on. Under the practical but tasteless Buan, management tried to curate a new collection, restocking the displays in the vestibule to justify the name and image of the Museum Theatre. The exhibits were no substitute for those rare exhibits, as each had an authentic history behind it. Nevertheless, they installed the inferior collection with fanfare under the glare of media cameras. While all went off to a party, Ketut remained indignant. How could they dishonor the name and memory of Tuan, a national treasure, with all this junk he never collected at all? And worse still, they kept his gilded portrait on the vestibule wall. Installing the new collection was also timed with the opening of the new production, the last work written by Tuan, based on the story of Jayavarman IX. It was part dance drama and song cycle with background shadow puppetry telling the story of ritual suicide of the Javanese king, queen and 1,500 family members and retainers before colonial Dutch guns. Instead of fighting and sacrificing thousands, the noble king staged a dance drama full of tragic spectacle as his ultimate protest in the face of military invasion. After the first night sensation, the play was a sellout. Everyone was ecstatic. But following the week of success and media attention, Puan received another shock. Tuan's priceless collection mysteriously reappeared overnight, replacing the new one. "Tut!" she called. He came running. "Have you seen this?" He shrugged. She really didn't know what to make of it at all, but was suddenly fearful that with last night's media attention, the theatre might be exposed for fraud. Clearly, Aslam was not to be blamed after all. She called her staff. "Look, we have to hide this all. But where?" They thought hard for a moment. "There's that hidden storeroom under the stage," her office manager said. As they tugged and manhandled the garments, hats and masks from the cabinets, Katut became agitated. "You are hurting Puan's things. You will damage them." Worried about a scandal, Puan got angry. "We have to hide it all, Tut. It will bring a bad name to my husband's memory." Backstage, they found the hidden door, but it was locked. "Who has the key? Tut? Please, open up." Reluctantly, he turned the lock and switched on the light. There was the new collection boxed neatly against one wall, his worn grass sleeping mat against the other, and Tuan's picture looking down. It dawned on Puan what had happened through the innocent Katut. What drama. She couldn't be angry with him. He had saved their precious institution, after all. For now, they would have to reinstall the inferior collection. In time, they could bribe the local police to uncover the stolen one, fabricating a story of a raid on some art thief ring's warehouse, and even get media attention for it. So she deftly diverted Ketut, muting him through admission into the actor's ranks. His talent shined. Public popularity led him to the top very fast, fulfilling his destiny as Tuan's artistic successor. Ketut developed into a great mask mime and led the museum troupe to overseas festivals. Even Puan was moved to glimpse her own husband occasionally embodied in the new Tuan. Back home, Ketut carried on as before. Never marrying, he lived in the theatre, sweeping up after hours. He also fixed the old trapdoor in the stage floor and would trigger it each night, plunging gleefully down onto foam. Then he would put on his old boar mask, dust the precious exhibits while conversing with Tuan's portrait on the wall. "Okay, Tuan?" he would ask. "Did you like the show tonight?"
It was all a dream? Oh my God. Patrick Duffy. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Sing. See, there you go. All right, now that we've been up to the mountain, let's go to the convenience store and have ourselves some beef jerky. Yes, it's the man, with nitrites included, Zach Mann. Let me see if he actually included nitrites in his... No, he didn't attach them. Oh my God, this is all natural. Take it away, Zach Mann.
My kid has been going on about how I shouldn't drink so much bottled water, that it is bad for the environment, how tap water is quality checked more often than bottled water. He tells me about all the things he has seen on YouTube and the conspiracy theories about soda pop companies convincing people that bottled water was better so they wouldn't lose customers when they became diabetic and stopped drinking soda pop. Sure, I could claim I have fears of chlorine and fluoride, but the truth is, I like to drink bottled water because I hate washing dishes.
Thank you, Zach Mann. Coming to theaters, July 15th. Who's next? Oh, it's Uncle Monster. Not to be confused with Anti-Monster. You know, the Injustice friends. Or Injustice enemy. I need to write my... I don't remember these things. There are so many stories that I forget. All the good times. It's just too much. Just too much. So many memories. I don't have room in my brain for them. I must store them in my pancreas. Can you help me, Cliff? Can you help me with that?
When a policeman pulls you over, be polite. Have your license and registration handy, but not in your hand. After all, you weren't doing anything wrong. When he asks if you know how fast you were going, act slightly embarrassed and simply say, "No, sir." When he says that you were doing 140, don't pump your fist and yell, "Yes!" It's bad form. Act contrite, apologetic, and sincere, even if you have to fake it. And whatever you do, when he asks if you've been drinking, don't pull out the bottle of scotch and offer him a drink.
This is why you and me should road trip. Oh, thank you, Cliff. I don't drink scotch. And I whisper a lot, like this. Bailey's. More? Okay, let's get rolling here. Next up we have Helen from her dashboard messages. Solstice. Solstice. Maybe I should change the topics around. I'll think about that. Okay, I thought about it. No! Alright, I need to be less cruel. People are going to start getting sad and walk away again. I don't want to just... me and... Zachman and Muncie just over and over be a short podcast. But I get more laundry done. And I could pet the cats more. What are you doing up there? Oh, right. Cleaning. Okay, here's Helen and her stories.
I want to dedicate my 100-word stories this week to the people out there who think alcohol is the answer. We all have been through a lot, and many of us have wanted to turn to alcohol, to think that'll heal the pain, take away whatever thoughts we have. However, the next day when you wake up, that pain and that problem is still there. Yes, alcohol is great in moderation, and anything is great in moderation, including fat food. So that's all I have to say. To drink or not to drink is the question, by Helen R. Starr. To drink or not to drink is the question. Life is in the balance. How do you go? Up or down? I don't know. People say to you, do it this way. My gut says, no. Let's do it this way. Who's right or wrong, I cannot say. Can I have a drink? You play, you sway, and say, oops. The next day, wait. Did drinks just cloud the way? Mind's under pressure, tears flow, where do I go? Sadness overcomes gladness, box to drink, depression, despair, who do I trust? To all, I say, don't drink and walk away. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you, Helen. But really, alcohol is the answer. It's especially the answer to the question, what can I use to get drunk? Bailey's. No, I just put it in there for the flavor, honest. There are days when it's like 10:30, 11 at night, and it's like, oh man, I need to go to sleep. And I realize I haven't had anything to drink. I'm like, man, what? You know, it's been a rough day, and all I did was drink iced tea? What's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You've grown up. 7:30. It's 7:30, the robot commands. Shouldn't my timer for the laundry go off? Huh. That's strange. I'm going to check on the laundry. Here's Tom. He's got a story. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And I've got updates. Movement. Caledonia is in a tie with Mieta, Charlie White, Craig, Mick, Tabitha, and Mike Thinks at the 84th place. Richard passes Terry and our good friend Lisa from Lemons and Lollipops, 6 stories shy of the top 30. Serendipity Haven moves ahead of Jeff of Greater Heights into the 23rd place. Young Danny Dwyer displaces our good friend Liana. He is now the 15th monkey. Chris Monroe moves ahead of Beauchamps. He is now the 12th monkey and is just 6 stories shy of golden monkey status. Singh is now the 8th monkey, passing TJ, and next week will become the 7th monkey, at which time all of the top 7 will be active. Of note, this week marks 100 stories in a row in double digits. Further, the average of those 100 weeks is double-double, 22.7 stories. Both Steve and Phil have been in the top 100 for 200 weeks, and Guy David for 300 weeks. Story total, 5,187. Story average, hold on to your hat, 16. Whoa. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 2. Bannister removed his hip flask and passed it to the boy. Mother didn't approve of the drink, and under normal circumstances, he would have let the green liquid pass by. But here on Storm Edge, that just wasn't the most intelligent option. Tim didn't particularly like the way the drink made his head feel. Some said the drink heightened one's reflexes. Tim threw back a swig and coughed. Bannister smiled and raised 2 fingers. The first of the fermentation clouds appeared on the left. The drink was the only thing which would keep you sober as you flew through Nimbus Alcoholis. Oh, one last thing. We are leaving for the Great White North up to Canada. We are going to be passing through Squibmania to Port Angeles and into Greater Victoria. So the sound quality is going to be not as good.
I can't hold on to my hat. I'm not wearing my hat. I left my hats at work, and my Diet Coke hat I left at Kalina's, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to leave my hat behind, it's really not a great hat. Ooh, I better write that down. So, thank you, Tom. You just inspired a new thing, story. I've lost a lot of hats over the years. If I forget get a hat, it was not... I think I've done a story about it already. I'll have to look up my Oregon, because I had an Oregon hat, because I thought, oh, I'm going to Portland, everyone's going to wear an Oregon hat. No! So we went to a Trailblazers game, and I forgot the hat. And it wasn't deliberate forgetting, because you don't deliberately forget. Unless, you know, you're taking roofies, and it's like, date rate drugs for fun, you know. Hey, there's a use, if you really got to forget something. Like, you know, you've got these forget-me-nots, and you need to forget some forget-me-nots. Oh, you need to cough up a hairball? Okay. I gotta go pat Tinny on the back, get that hairball up. Red got us, sent her a story earlier than most people, which is kind of frightening. So, I don't know if I can read them that well. So, here, listen. It's a British robot.
Drink by Red Goddess. Lola remembers a saying, a drink is a drink. Is a drink, is a drink. Maybe it's from one of her recovering alcoholic hotel guests. She can't remember, but in some cases, it doesn't make sense. Every morning, her choice of drink is a home-brewed cup of dark roasted coffee with a dash of brown sugar. After work, coffee won't cut it, even with Baileys. So honestly, a drink is not a drink, it is not a drink because Lola needs to numb her frustrations, before she explodes like dynamite. 2 days ago, she witnessed her lover having a drink with another woman. He didn't see her, but she can't get this image out of her head. Him. Her. And a bottle of wine between them. Him smiling and laughing without her.
Wow. That robot reads better than me. Maybe I should take a break. Dang. They're getting this technology really cool. That's from an iPhone 5, which they're going to redo all the pictures and stuff. You know, God forbid, you know, we have these motifs that we're used to, and now they're changing the icons, because no one ever uses an envelope these days, except the bill that your cell phone bill comes in, you know? Or no one ever uses a calendar and leather bound. It's like, excuse me? Hey, I'm a fancy person here. Sometimes there's fancy things, and you have to have the fancy. Although it would be nice if they would let people, you know, easily have icon sets instead of having to hack the stupid things. You know, motifs and all that. That would be nice. You could charge for that. You can make money, Mr. Ives. Thank you, Tom. Am I getting off on a rant again? Well, at least it's not about... Never mind, we won't go there. We have someone new this week. Dania, I'm pronouncing her name wrong. Well, that's part of the onboarding procedure. And she sent me all sorts of Dilgo. I could have wound up with a greenie on top of it. Facebook, Google Chat, all these ways to contact her, and yet you can contact her easily in the comments. Huh? Everybody welcome. Everybody's assignment this week is to welcome Dania. God, I'm going to be such an ass if I pronounce that wrong. Welcome, what's her first, to the weekly challenge in the comments. You see? And she's one of those SL people. So if there's still time to add a Chateau Tree, because I think they're going to let us edit those builds, which means I can remove the, what was it? Oh my, your dad bones your mom like an animal. Yeah, that sound file I think I need to remove. Instead, I'm going to put something else in. What do you think, Tinny? Oh, she's up. She's awake. Hello. Want to come over here? She is so weird. One, she's got a permanent sneer, because one lip is a little up like Elvis. And then sometimes her tongue hangs out a little. She's a really goofy-ass kitten. Okay. Well, she's not much of a kitten anymore. She's getting bigger. She's still an idiot. Right. Was there a podcast going on? Yeah. New person. Speak.
This is Dania Lattimore with an answer to Lawrence's challenge drink. She'd not seen the advertisement until she'd finished dinner, flipping absent-mindedly through the magazine while she cooked and ate, pages of health tips and can this marriage be saved. He'd chided her for having wine with dinner. Baptists should only take alcohol if Jesus himself had turned it from water. Then he'd take the prescription drugs that kept him calm, he'd said, during his emotionally charged acting lessons. But there it was, his smile, bottle of Merlot in one hand, glass in the other, his acting lessons really paying off. The word in bold sans serif above his head. Drink?
Ha ha! Dania, I pronounced your name right. And also wrong. I'm sorry for the wrong. I'm proud of the right. Welcome to the weekly challenge, by the way. It's great to see you here, and hopefully I haven't completely, making you wait 53 minutes to hear your voice. I should put the new people up front. And then people like Zachman can lie about being new. I'm new. You should put me first. And then it would... Everyone just claimed to be... Have we done the topic of new? I guess I need to look that up. Ooh, let's add that to the list. Okay, so... Right. Let's keep going here. The wheel key challenge? Justin's messing with my head again. It's raining too much in Portland, isn't it?
Space Turtle. Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com, where I've continued to update my blog with stories about Star Trek Online, with pictures. This story is about mostly computer fantasy games in general. These basement rats nibbled my toe. I'll drink a health potion. Those scratches are gone right away. Yikes! Flesh wound from that kobold. I'll drink a health potion. Dang orc gashed my arm. Nothing a health potion won't clear right up.
Bugbear broke my nose.
Health potion tastes like blood, but works just the same. Troll hit me over the head with a tree. Health potion and an Advil. Dragon just burnt me to a crisp. Two health potions! Consume responsibly. Contains high levels of mana. Not suitable for pregnant adventurers or adventurers sensitive to mana. Consult cleric if nursing.
Aw, nibbling at my toes. Goldfish shoals nibbling at my toes. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen Red Dwarf. Do they have that on Netflix or anything? I want to see the last series. All I've seen are the first six series. I haven't seen the one where they actually do get back and revive and they're stuck in prison. I've only read about it. Maybe I'm sure that they've got, like, BitTorrents and stuff. If only I knew people who did that kind of thing. Think of it as a thank you gift for all these years of weekly challenges, although then I need to thank you and offer you something. Oh, right, my undying gratitude. That's nice and empty. What? Danny's got a story? Okay, let's listen to him. He gets his turn. Come on. Step up to the microphone. Not too close. Oh my god, he licked the filter.
Hello. 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 Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 373. I think that's the number. Whatever. The topic is drink. And for this one, I decided to bring back three of my favorite characters. You know, the two of my favorite hookers from New York and New Jersey, Cookie and Bubbles, and their favorite friend, the stripper named Sparkle. And this is their latest adventure, and it's titled Drink. Cookie and Bubbles met Sparkle as she got off from work from the Ride'em Cowboy Strip Club. It was only 2:30 a.m. The bars in New York City don't close until 4, so the girls decided to head to the nearest bar to get a few drinks. Sparkle knew the bartender, Julio, so they all received free drinks. By 3 a.m., Cookie and Bubbles were completely wasted. Sparkle got into a fight with her so-called bartending friend, giving him a swift roundhouse kick to the jaw, dislodging his false teeth, which fell to pieces on the floor. Bubbles threw up on the bar.
I love those guys. One day I hope to see a movie with them. And the movie will be Citizen Kane 2. Thank you, Danny. I'm almost out of coffee. Turned out that my timer, that this was the lemon-shaped timer, had fallen in a cat water bowl, which is a floating candle holder. Problem is, kitchen timers don't float. So that timer is ruined. I threw it out. We have a bunch of other kitchen timers. I just like silly timers. I like silly timekeeping devices. I've got a clock that says 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, all the way around to 60 Mississippi. Imagine, if you will, 60 Mississippis. One Mississippi is bad enough. So, just the horror of it. Unless you're in Mississippi, then you probably don't know how to load this crap anyway. Norval Joe? Sure. Save me from this awkward position, shall ye?
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 373 with a prompt of drink. So here's my story. "You're mad," the second mate shouted as he struggled in his bonds. A shipmate slugged him and blocked his mouth with a dirty rag. "Arr, Mr. Turner, ye've been found guilty of mutiny, and even amongst us pirates that be punishable by death," the captain growled. "Take him, boys, and throw the scurvy dog into the drink."
"Excuse me, captain," the first mate put in. "We're space pirates, and there is no drink out there. Only the soul-sucking void of space."
"Then just put him out the airlock," the captain said. "I'll tell you, you people are no fun."
"What? Durgle's back?"
Durgle stood outside the bar, wanting to go in, sit down at their table and order a drink. He pulled his wiener dog hoodie over his balding head and pressed the wiener dog nose mask onto his face. He stepped through the door. The party at the center table went silent, but only for a moment. They all suddenly laughed at what must have been the funniest joke in the world. They laughed at him, and he knew it. They'd made it clear that the Justice Friends were just us friends. Like so often, they were in, and he was out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Durgle's back, and you're gonna be in trouble. Hey la, Durgle's back. Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. And thank you, Durgle, for keeping us all safe from, well, whatever we need keeping safe from. I'm not sure. Oh, all right. What are you doing with that? I need to do the litter boxes, too. I'm not going to do them while doing the podcast, though. That would be kind of weird. Tura? Okay. Tura's got a story, too. You've probably been wondering, where's Tura? Isn't Tura usually... No, Tura took, you know, take your sweet time. There is no last minute here, although there is a last minute. But there is no real last minute. Oh, I know what I forgot to do. God, like, when you go to a Renaissance Fair, even though we haven't gone to the Renaissance Fair for a year or two, you know, every time I end up buying like 10,000 sticks of incense, then never light them, because I don't smoke dope. But I like the smell of incense. I just forget that I haven't. There should be like an automatic incense lighter. I'm incensed that I have all this incense, but I'm insensitive to the need for... I don't know what I'm doing. Tura, speak.
Robert Heinlein said that a fiction writer is competing for the reader's beer money. I'll drink to that. But why compete? Every microbrewery bottle carries a blurb about how it was brewed on the banks of the mighty St. Vrain, or whatever. You could print a proper story there instead, perhaps 100 words long. Use Easy Peel labels and offer collectible albums. Challenge people to collect a saga in installments. On a bottle of Bailey's, you would want only the very best stories, stories you can read and reread for as long as the bottle lasts. The possibilities are endless.
I think that's a great idea, although my bottle of Bailey's is empty. I buy it like 3 or 4 bottles at once, and then I run out. Although I get a lot of Bailey's for Christmas, because, you know, it's like, ooh, a karaoke machine, because you like karaoke. Yeah, because we go out there, although we haven't for a while, and no one ever comes over here. And I don't really want people visiting. I'm just not in that. Although, if people are going to visit, okay, if you're going to visit, we'd sit out on the patio, and it would have to be a decent time of year to do it, which means maybe March, and possibly November, which isn't much of a range at all. I should be out on the patio. I should have done it yesterday. Tinny likes going outside. She has pretty blue eyes when she's outside, because her little pupils get all small, and then you can actually see the blue, as opposed to inside, where there are black pits of darkness in which all stupid ideas flow. Ooh, I can knock this over. Oh, I can jump on that. What's this? I should tear it to pieces. Because they're filthy little animals. But we love them. Speaking of other things that we love ignoring Planet Z. Who has a story this week? As with every week. Perhaps we should listen to it. I recommend that you don't.
You're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water per day, but I have no idea how big the glasses are supposed to be. Glass-sized, says my doctor. Why do you have to be such an asshole? So I made a glass with a counter on it, and after every glass of water, I add one to the counter. When I get to 8, I can stop drinking. My friend thought it was a cool idea, so I lent it to him. 3 days later, he ended up in the hospital, suffering from severe dehydration. The dumbass never reset the counter.
Thank you to everyone for being a part of the weekly challenge this week. And every week. The NSA thanks you, too. And if you go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, you'll see what's been wasting their robots' time. There's comments and links and the text of the stories if you can't understand what the hell anybody is saying. There's all sorts of things. I think you'll enjoy it. Or if you've already enjoy it again! The topic next week is going to be faint. I like words with multiple meanings, okay? They offer such opportunities, and it's interesting to see who does what. That's why I do them. That's why you do them. I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.